Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Tomorrow we have a live show in the Odyssey Hub for our Zeoli Unplugged for all the wonderful people who gave money to the Travis Mannion Foundation. And I appreciate that, and we're going to have a great show. We are actually going to reschedule Congressman Wesley Hunt to tomorrow. So that'll be great. So tune in for that tomorrow. We'll have some other surprise guests along the way. And we're busy as we are every day. Tomorrow night's debate night. Now, I will be watching the debate. I don't know if I'll be live tweeting the debate. I don't know. I got to kind of see. I actually like to watch it. I mean, the problem is that if you're tweeting and you're trying to get a quick hit on social media, you tend to miss things. So we'll see. I don't know. We'll see how the mood strikes going into this tomorrow night, but we'll see. The other thing too is that I saw this at SaveJersey.com, my buddy Matt Rooney's site, that the Danish offshore wind construction, the Ørsted, which is now Ørsted, the costs were up $6.7 billion. And the costs of these wind turbines are rising. Imagine that, $6.7 billion higher. A new PricewaterhouseCoopers audit discovered wildly rising prices for offshore wind construction in Denmark, specifically a $6.7 billion increase in construction costs since 2021. Congressman Chris Smith of New Jersey, who along with Jeff Van Drew has been vocal in his opposition to offshore wind industrialization, called the audit a major wake-up call for Governor Murphy that even his massive government subsidies and ratepayer hikes won't be enough to foot the ever-growing bill for the reckless pursuit of offshore wind. The evidence clearly shows that offshore wind projects are nowhere close to being economically viable, regardless of how much ratepayer money his royal ruggedness King Philip the Unaccountable forks over to foreign corporations like Ørsted, or how high energy prices are increased. The state's own Division of Rate Council has conceded that the governor's policies would lead to higher energy costs for taxpayers and ratepayers. Murphy even failed to recoup the full $300 million, which the state was supposed to recover if Ørsted pulled out, losing $175 million in a humiliating climb-down deal. Instead of continuing to run headlong into an economic buzzsaw, Governor Murphy should finally face the facts and stop throwing billions of hard-earned taxpayer dollars at unsound, improperly vetted offshore wind projects here in New Jersey. Despite Governor Murphy's efforts to prop up these projects, Ørsted concluded it would still lose money. It's long past time that Governor Murphy comes to the same conclusion and can see that this is a terrible deal for New Jersey taxpayers before he leads our state to catastrophic financial ruin in pursuit of his blind ambition, said Congressman Van Drew and Congressman Chris Smith. Now, what's that blind ambition, you might ask? It is to become president of the United States. Remember, the left is nuts. They're crazy. And they want somebody who's far left crazy. And when it comes to the issue of wind, they want somebody who's all in on wind turbines. Doesn't matter that these things are energy inefficient. It doesn't matter that dead whales and dolphins. Remember, dead whales don't vote. Dead Democrats vote. So they don't care about dead whales. There's another dead whale washed up in Rhode Island a couple days ago. So in order to win the Democrat primary for president in 2028, he wants to be able to show the voters, the wacko kooks in New Hampshire and South Carolina and Iowa, hey, look what we did in New Jersey. Hey, thousands of them. Hey, look, He can bring whale carcasses with him to show them as souvenirs of all that he's accomplished. And they'll eat it up. They'll love it. That's the game. That's what they mean by his blind ambition. The Pentagon is facing new and increasing scrutiny over its inability to track U.S. taxpayer-funded research at Chinese labs, as well as its efforts to withhold the information it does have on the risky pathogen-enhancing projects. A Department of Defense Office of Inspector General report, mandated by a provision authored by U.S. Senator Joni Ernst of Iowa in the 2024 National Defense Authorization Act, was released this month with heavy redactions and a sobering admission from the Pentagon. Quote, the full extent of Department of Defense funds provided to Chinese research laboratories for research related to enhancement of pathogens of pandemic potential is unknown. Is what? It's unknown. Now, Senator Ernst and others are demanding the Pentagon do better and release in full what it does know about the U.S. funding of such deadly pandemic pathogen research. In a letter to Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, obtained exclusively by townhall.com, Ernst explains that the incomplete accounting of taxpayer-funded pathogen-enhancing research in Chinese labs is unacceptable due to the Department of Defense not sufficiently tracking or monitoring expenditures made from its own contracts and grants. She also notes that Navy officials didn't even bother responding to the OIG's specific questions. Not quite what is expected of what Biden promised would be the most transparent administration in history. So we still don't know what was what's being funded over there. We still don't know how much of our Department of Defense taxpayer dollars are being used in Chinese biolabs creating the next pandemic. Isn't that something? Wow. And the squad has lost Representative Jamal Bowman. Oh, we're going to miss that guy. The fire starter himself. Shocked. Didn't see this coming. I really thought his expletive rant pushing like a stool. I know what he was doing with that stool. It looked like he was like a bull charger, bullfighter.
I like that he cut off his sleeves, too.
Yeah, cut off his sleeves, start dropping F-bombs, takes his stool out like he's going to start hitting people with it. But it didn't work, and I was shocked as you were. He lost Tuesday's Democratic primary in the state's 16th district after drawing a notable challenger, County Executive George Latimer, who is a Democrat but not insane. The results were not even close. He was leading Wednesday morning by about 17 points with about 90% of the vote counted. It's actually his lead's gone up since then. Part of the squad, the uber wacko faction in Congress, and his defeat could prompt similar challenges. That's one reason Bernie Sanders and company tried to rescue him. The defeat of Mr. Bowman, Senator Sanders said, would be a message to every member of Congress that if you oppose corporate interests, the billionaire class will take you down. Maybe, Bernie, but it could also be this. If you're freaking insane, just members of your own party will take you down, because insane is not playing right now for the Democrats, and they're trying to distance themselves from insanity. The squad especially blames the American Israel Public Affairs Committee for getting involved in the race. As Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and others watched, as Mr. Bowman said, quote, we are going to show effing AIPAC the power of the mother effing South Bronx. Not so much. Jamal Bowman's greatest problem is Jamal Bowman, said Democratic Representative Richie Torres, who represents the neighboring 15th district. AIPAC did not illegally pull a fire alarm. Jamal Bowman, he's the one that pulled the fire alarm. AIPAC did not deny the Hamas rapes against Israeli women. Jamal Bowman did. So there you go. Bowman had 400,000 followers on social media. Latimer had 6,000, showing you that very often, as we used to say back in the day, Twitter, social media, it's not real life. Just remember that. And then, of course, we remember when it was unearthed that he wrote a 9/11 truther poem back in 2011, when he was only just a young kid at 35 years old. So, you know, oh, the youth, what we've all done in our young age, right? Denying 9/11.
His defense was equally bizarre, because he said that he did it while he was deciding whether or not to pursue a PhD. But I, for the life of me, can't understand what one has to do with the other.
Yeah. Yeah, well, if I want to get into this PhD program, I'll become a 9/11 truther. That'll get me in. That'll definitely get me in. So, thank God, you know. And in New Jersey, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is now engaged in a lawsuit because they're trying to bar him from being on the ballot in New Jersey. This is how Democrats are so worried. And why would they be doing this anyway if they were not worried about Trump potentially winning New Jersey, which is a blue state? But a prominent Democrat attorney is trying to prevent independent presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. from appearing on New Jersey's general election ballot this November. The election attorney, Scott Salmon, filed a legal challenge Tuesday alleging that Kennedy violated the state's so-called sore loser law, which prevents candidates from running as independents in general elections after seeking a major party's nomination. Kennedy sought the Democratic nomination for president until October of 2023, when he said he would continue his campaign as an independent. So they're trying to get this guy off the ballot. Now, this attorney has an interesting past because he led the charge to remove Yee, formerly known as Kanye West, from the state's 2020 ballot over the rapper's nominating petitions. Legal filings from the attorney point out how Robert F. Kennedy Jr. ran for president seeking the Democratic nomination. I just don't think it would matter if they were really confident they can definitely, definitely win this election and keep New Jersey blue. But Trump's cutting into a lot of different places, a lot of places that are typically states that you would not expect a Republican to do well in. And it could be the other factor, too, which is at play in all this, which is that between the hatred of Joe Biden by the anti-Israel kooks, the hatred for Joe Biden by the climate change kooks, they have another place to go. Trump does better than he ever has before. Could New Jersey flip? Curtis Basho is running in the general election as a U.S. Senate candidate. Yeah. I mean, look, anything's possible. New Jersey votes red for governor. It's not out of the realm of possibility. New Jersey votes for Republican governors and typically votes blue statewide elections on the even years and then votes red in the odd years because New Jersey has an election every year. The governor runs in an off year, an odd year. So the next governor's race will be 2025. So it's certainly possible the state could flip this November. I don't really think the Trump campaign should invest a dollar in trying, though. I think the RNC should try to help Curtis Bashaw win. I think Trump's campaign should focus all their efforts in winning Pennsylvania because you win Pennsylvania, you're president. The rest becomes bragging rights. But it is interesting and telling that they're fighting to keep Kennedy off the ballot. I think that's the interesting pickup in all this from my analysis of this. And the Hillary Clinton op-ed, which I mentioned earlier to you, where she writes that, and she's going on about how you got to lower expectations for Joe Biden going into this debate. That's essentially what she's saying. And here's something else I wanted to share with you as well. In and Matt mentioned this earlier, in Canada, Justin Trudeau gets a wake-up call. Little Castro, little Fidel, as he's known among his friends. I'm not saying he's the bastard love child of Fidel Castro. I'm simply saying his friends call him little Fidel.
Oh, thank you for clarifying.
Yeah, I'm not saying he isn't the bastard love child of Fidel Castro. I'm just not saying he is.
We are officially saying he is the son of Pierre Trudeau.
No, you're saying that. You are saying that.
The official stance of the Rich Zeoli show.
Allegedly. In Ottawa, the heat cranked up on Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Following it, the heat cranked up on him is also a nod to his Cuban roots. So I'm just hot down there. It's not hot in Canada. I think even Politico is trying to take a dig at him, don't you think?
You
didn't even think about that.
It's a good observation.
That's why I'm, you know, that's why they, that's why I'm the host of the leading afternoon drive show on our station. The only afternoon drive show on our station, for the record.
We have great ratings.
Chicks dig us.
Very popular. The ladies do love the Rich Cioli show.
The ladies love us, and they're going to love us even more when they see my new haircut, which I would show on YouTube right now, but we're having problems getting on YouTube.
You should have a link that works now.
We'll do it tomorrow. Well, tomorrow we'll stream the whole show live because we're going to be doing the Cioli show unplugged. So I think we'll stream at least most of the show live like we did in Cape May.
As far as I know, the whole thing will be streamed live on YouTube tomorrow.
And you're going to be up there with me, right, on stage?
I don't think so. I think I'm going to be running the board back
in. I think you need to be on stage with me.
Okay. Well,
because otherwise I'm going to have 40 people staring at me like I'm a sea otter in an aquarium the whole time.
Well, when you phrase it that way, it does sound awkward.
Yeah.
All right, well, I can be on stage then.
Yeah, all right, good. Thank you. That would be helpful.
I don't know that anybody wants to see me, but...
I think the ladies of the Cioli Army definitely want to see Matt the Sanctimonious, no doubt about it.
I don't think that's true.
I'm just saying.
I don't think anybody wants to see me or hear from me. I just operate in the background.
No, you got to be up there because it's better. When I yell at you in person, it's better. Everybody can see that you're laughing. And then we don't have emails from angry listeners like Betsy or whatever her name was.
We haven't gotten one in a while. Maybe people have realized that I'm not offended and it's all part of the joke.
It's all part of it. It's showbiz is what it is.
I mean, I go home and cry, obviously. But while I'm here, I'm in good spirits.
Yeah, obviously you do. No question about that. And the Biden administration is closing the largest ICE detention center in the United States. Well, obviously, duh. I mean, the problem's been solved. The Biden administration is closing the nation's largest ICE detention center despite some 7.4 million migrants remaining free in the U.S. while awaiting court hearings or deportation. The South Texas Family Residential Center in Dilley, Texas, about 75 miles southwest of San Antonio, is capable of holding 2,400 migrants. They're going to replace the facility with a 1,600 new bed facility at other centers in the region. Now, NBC News had this news report I want to share with you, and then I'll tell you Alejandro Mayorkas' response. Take a listen.
Dozens of migrants with potential ties to an ISIS-linked smuggling network released into the U.S., and now the search is on to find them. Here's Julia Ainsley.
NBC News has learned more than 50 migrants with potential ties to an ISIS-affiliated smuggling network are at large in America. Many illegally crossed the border and were released into the U.S. by Border Patrol because there was no information suggesting terror ties at the time. Now, their whereabouts are unknown as immigration agents look to arrest them, U.S. officials tell us, saying they're among a group of over 400 migrants DHS identified in the U.S. from Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, Moldova, Kyrgyzstan, Georgia, and Russia as subjects of concern because they were brought to the U.S. by an ISIS-affiliated smuggling network. ICE has located and arrested over 150 of the 400 migrants so far, with some already deported from the U.S., officials say, adding authorities are not panicking because their ties to ISIS are not certain, but they're prioritizing their arrest out of an abundance of caution. NBC News was first to report on a similar arrest of an Uzbek man in Baltimore, whose country alerted the U.S. he was affiliated with ISIS. That man, like the others apprehended so far, was arrested on immigration charges, not terrorism-related charges. ISIS-K has claimed responsibility for deadly terror attacks in Russia and Iran in the past year. And recently, the DHS Inspector General sharply criticizing vetting at the U.S. southern border, saying DHS is at risk of admitting dangerous persons into the country or enabling asylum seekers who may pose significant threats to public safety and national security to continue to reside in the United States.
Now, here's the Secretary of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas, calling that fake news. Take a listen.
DHS confirms that at least 400 migrants with potential ISIS ties recently crossed into the United States.
That is incorrect.
Tell us why.
That reporting is incorrect. We do not have identified 400 people with potential ISIS ties. And let me again assure you that individuals who are identified to have those ties would pose a concern to us from a public safety and a security perspective, and they would be priorities for detention and removal.
Calling that initial NBC report inaccurate over the 400 potential ISIS ties?
I think it is inaccurate.
It's inaccurate. So it's fake news, basically. Fake news. There you go. Fake news. I'll play this for you. This is a Nickelodeon. This is a Nickelodeon program for kids. I talked about this with Kim Guilfoyle earlier in the show. She's got a new book out. And, you know, the indoctrination, the efforts to indoctrinate our children are everywhere. This is Nickelodeon promoting the trans ideology with a singing drag queen. Gone are the days of just Nickelodeon sliming everybody. This is from our friends at End Wokeness on X, Cut 8.
Doesn't it just fill you with pride, showing who you are on the inside? With that pride flag up high, true.
Yeah, what indoctrination, you say? What indoctrination, you silly parents? What are you worried about? Man, I just sent you a clip. This judge is getting called out here in Harris County. So she blamed Trump for what happened with that that little girl, that 12-year-old Jocelyn Nungari, and her death at the hands of an illegal immigrant. And she blamed Trump for it. And the judge said, it hurts me that people are politicizing this, and it's Trump's fault. So a reporter comes back and says, well, aren't you politicizing it if you're blaming Trump on this? The judge is a nut, clearly a nut. This is from, let's see what the source is on this. I'm not exactly sure, but Colin Rugg retweeted it. Happened a short time ago in Harris County. You have it, Matt? Take a listen.
Me, it hurts even more that they're being used as pawns in this fight over immigration that doesn't even exist, because Biden and McConnell agree. It's just that Trump won't let them move it forward.
All due respect, Judge, you said this issue shouldn't be politicized, but by pointing the finger at former President Trump and Republicans in Congress, aren't you politicizing it?
I think I answered the question. So, yeah, I mean, this is about Jocelyn. This is about her family. And if we want to,
Judge,
as I said, talk about immigration,
you didn't answer the question. Are you politicizing this by pointing the finger at Republicans and saying it's their fault, not the fault of the Biden administration that lifted the Remain in Mexico policies?
Again, the Biden administration reached an agreement with Leader McConnell to address this, but this is not about immigration. I'm not going to feed into that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, she's not being political in any way, shape, or form, right? So it's just, this is what we got to deal with right now. In terms of this, wait, what did you just text me? You're going to use what now for bumper music?
Oh, I was joking. I was saying I was going to come back with that Nickelodeon Pride song as our next bumper song.
Oh, thank God you're joking. Okay. And the ladies of the Zioli Army are demanding they want to see you, Matt DeSantis.
Well,
so you better be there tomorrow.
I don't want to disappoint them, so they'll get what they want. They'll get
okay.
to see me.
All right.
Again, usually...
They do want to see you. They do want to see you. That's the thing. They want to see you.
Well, we got to give them what they want. We're popular with the ladies, and we don't want to lose that demographic.
That's what has to happen, all right? So make sure you do that. By the way, this is our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. We're going to be live at the next time we're going to be there September 6th. So mark your calendar for our next live show at the Grand Hotel. But I do want you to know that this is a great time for you to make your summer vacation plans, because the kids love summer, kids love the beach, and the kids will love the pools, plural, at the Grand Hotel. They have an indoor heated pool, giant one, and an outdoor heated pool as well. So make your reservations today at grandhotelcapemay.com. One thing I want to mention, though, with regards to the debate tomorrow night, and having worked on Trump's debate prep in the past, I'm just going to say that Trump does not prep for a debate like a traditional candidate does. He doesn't. He doesn't sit there. You don't do a lot of role play. He doesn't like to waste his voice, believe it or not. It's different, but it works for him. And I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters anyway, because in 2016, he had never run for office before, and it was a primary, and they were all ganging up on him, and it was a different world. Tomorrow night, he just has to go in there and just be himself, and I do think he beats up Joe Biden. I think you take the gloves off. I think you say you're the worst president this country's ever had. You're the worst president. Jimmy Carter looks like a hero. Exactly what he said on this radio show. There's no reason not to. For Trump, if you don't like him, you don't like him. Nothing he does is going to change your mind of that fact. So you don't play to the people that don't like him by trying to go in there with some sort of charm offensive. It's not going to work. He is who he is. And the verdict's out. I mean, you like him or you don't. That's it. But people may not like the guy and still vote for him. I know it's crazy. People may not like him and still vote for him because they just like America better when he was president. So they may watch the debate tomorrow and be like, I can't stand the freaking guy. But he has a point. America was better when he was president. It's hard to disagree with that fact. You don't have to walk out of that debate tomorrow night. This is not 2020. In 2020, the problem that there were several problems, but it's easy to look back now and see it. At the time, it was catching everybody off guard, and it was this. Joe Biden was packaged up as this kind old man hiding in his basement, keeping you safe from COVID and mean tweets. The reason why the Central Intelligence Agency and their contractors and 51 former national security hacks who really should be in prison all lied and said that the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation when they all knew it was real is because what was on that laptop was so damning to Joe Biden as the corrupt SOB that he is. And they had to keep it from coming out to the American people. But Donald Trump approached that debate much like he did with Hillary Clinton, thinking that people didn't like Joe Biden. Joe Biden was very undefined. I know it's crazy to think about in hindsight, but yeah, he was vice president, but he wasn't around that much. I mean, and when he was, he said stupid things, and they were like, oh, that's just Uncle Joe. Hillary Clinton was despised in 2016. So when Trump took the gloves off on her, it didn't hurt him. The gloves came off on Biden, and the laptop was not something that we could actually know because they hid it from us and they lied about it, and they just packaged this guy. It was a Hollywood package. They marketed him. Here's the nice man, the kind old grandfather. That's not going to fly this time. Now Biden's got a record he's got to answer for, and Trump can make the comparison. Look, the country was better when I was president. It stinks now under you. You can't get away from that fact. So just let Trump be Trump. Let him do what he does. I don't think you have to worry about it. I don't think you have to worry at all tomorrow night. Basically, every poll metric says people prefer Trump's policies to Biden's by a wide margin. And that's all he has to do. And I think Joe Biden is going to be the nasty Joe Biden that everybody knows he is, because it came out. In that first debate, if you remember, when he came out, he was like, shut up, man. And Trump will trigger Biden, and Biden will get nasty. And at this point now, if it's a referendum on policy, then that's advantage Trump. The Harvard Caps Harris poll, 60% of registered voters say they miss Trump's policies on the economy, crime, and immigration, including 45% of Black Americans. Now, among likely voters in primary in states that matter, in key swing states, those numbers are even better for Trump. So I certainly don't think people are going to say, well, he was mean to Biden. So even though I don't like Biden's policies and I can't stand the price of food, I'm going to vote for Biden just because Trump was mean to him. That's the mean tweets argument from 2016 that didn't work for them. In 2016, if you remember, every Republican prognosticator was going on television and saying, please put down Twitter, take away his password, don't let him tweet, it's not helping him, he's going to lose to Hillary Clinton because of his mean tweets. He didn't lose to Hillary Clinton, mean tweets didn't matter. They didn't matter. So if he's mean to Joe Biden tomorrow night, like Maggie Haberman of the New York Times suggests he's going to be mean to Joe Biden, it doesn't freaking matter. It's a referendum on policy at this point, and Biden's a mean guy. He's a nasty SOB. That's the truth. People don't realize that about him. I think more people do now. But he's always been that way. Biden's always been a nasty SOB who says inappropriate things, rude things and inappropriate things. I don't mean Joe being Joe moments. I mean he's a mean, cranky SOB who also, by the way, enriched himself as vice president of the United States and used the family business to become a multimillionaire. Maybe Trump should even ask him that. How is it you made a public salary your entire life and you're a multimillionaire with a beachfront mansion and you didn't work a day in your life outside of the public sector? Good question for people to ponder on. Am I right? All right, listen, as we continue along the show today, we'll talk to Regan Reese, White House correspondent for the Daily Caller. She's got a lot to say, a lot of thoughts for you. But my wife, Bridget, this morning was at Dr. Mike Venaria. Well, I only have one wife. I should clarify that. Bridget was at Dr. Mike Venaria's office this morning getting her new smile. She needed to have caps replaced, and Dr. Mike did a great job. And the smile looks beautiful. If you need a new smile, go see Dr. Mike Venaria. With two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, Dr. Mike will give you the smile of your dreams. He's helped so many people get the smile that they deserve. And he's a great guy. He's a great friend, and he's the master of dental implants. There's simply no one better than Dr. Mike Venaria. One of the things that really makes Dr. Venaria stand out from the rest is that when it comes to complicated dental implants, for example, he's been recognized among his colleagues as a master for 10 consecutive years in a row. They've recognized him as the best of the best. And he's a great guy, too. Great family man, great office, music playing. The people that work there are all terrific as well. And if you've been putting off going to the dentist, like my friend Tommy, don't wait. Dr. Mike is the best. And yes, he's really my dentist. And yes, Bridget was really at his office today getting her new smile. And yes, all my kids go there as well. In fact, Claire has an appointment this week with Dr. Mike Venaria. So reach out to his office today at 856-786-2020, 856-786-2020, or visit venariadental.com. That's V-A-N-A-R-I-A, venariadental.com.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste because you know all your patients is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Scioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
We're excited for that. And yeah, we got a lot to say about it between now and then. Welcome back. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. It is a pleasure to welcome to the show Regan Reese, who is the White House correspondent for the Daily Caller and has one of the coolest first names ever. Regan, hey, thanks for joining me in Philadelphia. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
My daughter's name is Regan.
Oh, very neat. Spelled the same way?
R-E-A-G-A-N.
Yep, just like the president.
Yeah, so we tell my mother-in-law it's just an Irish name because she's not on our side of the aisle. But, yeah, we 100% named her after President Reagan. But don't ever tell her that if you see her, okay?
I won't. Don't worry.
That's our secret. The article you have over at the Daily Caller, Reagan Reese, is Keep the Bar Off the Floor. Low expectations won't save Biden from sleepy debate performance, observers say. So, first of all, tell us your role as the White House correspondent for the Daily Caller. And I have to say, the Daily Caller is one of my absolute go-to sites. I'm on there throughout the day. You guys do great work over there.
Well, thank you. We're glad to hear that. You know, we're trying to for, you know, I think, a lot of Americans who deserve to have stories told and have their perspective, you know, represented in the media. But as the White House correspondent, I cover the White House. And so whenever there's something going on at the White House, a press briefing, the president's giving a speech or he's departing on Marine One from the South Lawn, I'm there. We have a seat in the briefing room. You know, trying to ask questions of White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre, trying to ask questions of President Biden, and doing some original enterprising reporting that, you know, holds officials accountable, but, you know, also takes a look at these issues and these questions that we're seeing in the political landscape today, like the one that I just wrote on.
All right. So, let's talk about the debate tomorrow night. Even Hillary Clinton wrote an op-ed in the New York Times today, essentially now trying to lower expectations for Joe Biden by saying, look, president's busy, he's got a lot going on, so he doesn't have time to practice like Trump would, and you kind of got to give him a pass. I'm hearing a lot of that, a lot of downplaying of the expectations.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting coming from Hillary Clinton. You know, President Biden has been at Camp David through the weekend and will be there up until the debate, doing debate prep. There have been a bunch of stories in the media about what that is looking like. And so the New York Times reported that they have a mock stage set up at Camp David. And, you know, they have somebody who is role-playing President Trump trying to teach President Biden how to trigger Trump, how to get under his skin. And so they've been preparing for, you know, the last week or so. We haven't seen the president. We haven't, you know, heard anything from the president. I thought that was notable on the two-year anniversary of the overturning of Roe v. Wade. This is a massive issue that the Democrats have, you know, cried about for the last 2 years. It's something that they are making a pillar of their campaign. And, you know, President Biden was nowhere to be seen because he's doing this debate prep. So to lower the bar for him, you know, we're at the point where if President Biden doesn't trip over his tie, you know, people are championing as a success. And I think this was very evident during his State of the Union address, where a lot of people, you know, thought it was one of his better speeches because he really only had one major gaffe moment. And that was when he botched the name of Lake and Riley, the slain 22-year-old in Georgia. And so, you know, when the president has moments like this where the bar is pretty low for him, he tends to meet those expectations and succeed. You know, but he's coming off a tough week that has lowered the expectations. We saw the videos of him at the G7, you know, appearing to wander off and being pulled back into the group. We saw Obama, you know, leading him off stage after he appeared to freeze up. And then we saw another instance of him at the Juneteenth celebration at the White House. Everybody else is dancing around him, and the president appears to be frozen. So it's this interesting pull between two campaigns trying to figure out where the expectations should be for President Biden.
And you've talked to some veteran political insiders, and what are they telling you, Reagan Reese?
Yeah, so these were all former members of the Trump campaign and the Trump White House, and high ranking too. So they have really great insight on what to expect going into this debate. You know, there was a consensus that, yeah, the bar is low. And former White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer said to me, you know, we need to raise it. And one of the points that these insiders made that you raise that bar so Biden's chance of being successful is a lot lower. But also there's this bit of a thought, you know, maybe some people call it conspiracy theory, but I think you're you're seeing people talk about it more and more, that the president could be replaced yes. in the race if he doesn't perform well. So you want you don't want to raise concern among Dems so much that they are legitimately going to consider taking Biden out of the race. And one veteran pointed out to me that he was confident that the Trump campaign under no circumstances wants to run against anyone else that's not Joe Biden. And so it's crucial to them that Joe Biden stays in the race.
But we're hearing those echoes even from Democrats. I mean, you hear James Carville, you hear Bill Maher, you hear other mm-hmm. people coming out and saying the quiet part out loud. Biden can't win. He's not up to it. He may be in the same age range as Trump, but mentally he's not in the same league as Trump. And Carville says it all the time. I mean, he'll say it to anybody who will listen. That this guy's going to lose. So I think there really is an active segment of the Democrat Party that wants to swap him out. And the question is, how do they do that? How do they work that out? How do they maneuver that? I am very suspicious of the timing of this Reagan Reese because I can't remember the last time there was a June presidential debate. And from what I understand, and you can tell me if I'm wrong on this, it was the Biden campaign that requested this date of June. So fueling a lot of this theory is the idea that you do this presidential debate in June, Biden is barely survives it, and they say, yeah, we got to make a change here. We have to do this. Of course, the flip side of that is you lower expectations, and then Biden just doesn't have to literally die on stage, and they go, look, he's fit. He can hang in this race. But I just find the timing of this June, when everybody's on vacation, it's so far away from the general election, to be very suspicious.
Yeah, the whole debate process has been quite fascinating, and I think something that's unprecedented, as we typically see with these candidates. They seem, things have been out of the ordinary with this election cycle. We have, two presidents running against each other. The Biden campaign proposed to ditch the third party, that Commission on Presidential Debates, who wanted the debates to be held closer to the election. Of course, there's the argument that the debate should be held sooner because of early voting that is still in place in some states, that the idea that Americans are going to be placing their vote, way in advance of Election Day. So I've heard that argument for that's why the election should be sooner. It reads to me that maybe the Biden campaign may be making a last ditch effort. This might be their Hail Mary. To turn the polls around. We've seen them, really struggle with President Biden's approval rating, the backlash to the Israel-Hamas war in the Middle East. He's battling concerns about his age. This could be something that they're trying to make a pitch to the American people that President Biden is okay before it's too late to change their mind in that election cycle. But you are totally correct in saying that these, debates have not been held this early before. This is all new. The Commission on Presidential Debates has always been included. They've always been that third party. I think it's pretty standard for a live audience to be in place at the debate, and that's not going to be happening in this Atlanta debate. And so there's a lot of things that are going to make this unique. They're going to cut each other's mics when they start to talk, and it's going to be up to the discretion of the station, which is CNN, by the way, to decide when they're going to cut each other's mics and stuff. So, there's a lot going on that's different about this debate that could mean a bunch of different things.
Reagan Reese is with me. She's the White House correspondent for the Daily Caller. As far as these young voters that don't like Joe Biden, they call him Genocide Joe. I mean, they hate the guy over his stance on Israel. And they've been voting for third party candidates or voting for none of the above in some of these delegate contests. The appeal of third party candidates. How much of that is a concern for the Biden campaign, you think?
It's a concern for both campaigns. I think the Biden campaign has been there's been more reporting on it. They've been more forthcoming about how concerned they are. They're trying to blast RFK Jr. as a Trump plant. It's been reported that the Biden campaign has a entire team dedicated to researching opposition on him and trying to take him down in this process. And so they are worried about him. Similarly, I think the Trump campaign is also worried about him. And we've seen that, you know, a bunch of their operatives or people in their camp have been active on social media trying to alert conservatives who might like him because of his opposition to the COVID-19 vaccine that, you know, no, RFK Jr. is in fact a Democrat. You know, he has those extreme abortion policies that this base is not a fan of. So it's definitely not just a concern for the Biden campaign, but for both parties.
Yeah, and I think on that point, too, and I mean, New Jersey, they're trying to block RFK from getting on the ballot in Blue Jersey. So they are worried about him, no doubt about it. I think for anyone who thinks that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is going to take votes from Trump, the problem with that is his running mate. I mean, isn't his running mate extremely to the left?
Yeah, on the RFK Jr. point, too, and what the Biden campaign is doing to keep him from affecting them. That's the other thing that's kind of unusual about this debate. When Biden finally said, you know, okay, I'll debate Trump, but under X, Y, and Z conditions, there was just a whole slew of non-negotiables that the Biden campaign wanted to, in fact, get Biden on that stage. And one of them was that they wanted to keep it to just two candidates. They absolutely, under no circumstances, wanted RFK Jr. on that stage. Perhaps it's realistic because it Biden and Trump are the leaders in this presidential race, but restricting a presidential candidate from this stage is interesting and it's odd. And so CNN, you know, gave RFK Jr. an opportunity. They set pretty lofty expectations for him, but under the commission on presidential debates, their standards, RFK Jr. was poised to meet those standards. And so he would have had a chance to be on that debate stage, but the Biden campaign wanted to do away with that, in an effort to keep him off that stage.
Interesting. Well, Reagan, I appreciate your reporting and come back and visit us again. Reagan Reese, the White House correspondent for the Daily Caller, and follow Reagan on X at Reagan Reese, R-E-A-G-A-N, just like my Reagan. Thanks so much for joining us here. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right. A couple other observations regarding the Robert F. Kennedy Jr. factor in all this, too. I don't see this hurting Trump. I really don't. And the reason why is because if you really want to change things, you know Trump's your only alternative here. You can't afford to waste your vote. If you live in a state, for example, and this is the big story of the day brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. If you live in a deep red state and you want to send a message by voting for Robert F. Kennedy Jr. for whatever reason, you know, knock yourself out, have at it. But otherwise, if you're in Pennsylvania and you're voting for Robert F. Kennedy Jr., you're throwing your vote away. I have to think people that really want change know that. But the Democrats who are young college kids who just hate Biden, I don't think they think about it that way. Because when I was a college kid, I may not have thought about it that way. It's just a different mindset. They're not paying bills. What moves them is not the same thing that moves the rest of us. They don't have families. They're not trying to pay their mortgage. They're not trying to buy groceries. A lot of them have meal plans, you know, at college. So for them, stepping out on a ledge and sending a protest vote, fine. They don't feel the consequences and the ramifications of that. But if you send a protest vote against Trump, and the economy's hurting you and your family, and you're struggling to get by, you know you've just helped Joe Biden get another 4 years. And to me, that's the differentiator. That's the difference right there. That doesn't mean that some young college libertarians may not vote for Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and throw their vote away, too. I just don't think it's the same. It's the same. These organized efforts you've seen, the protests at these colleges led by the blue-haired lesbians for Hamas, that group, they would love nothing more than to know that they were so impactful in this election that it cost Joe Biden a second term. And I don't think deep down inside they care if it's Trump, because then they can spend the next 4 years protesting him. That matters to them more than anything. It's not like, oh, we got to change things because food prices are up 20% higher than they were. They don't care. They want to send a message. They want to be part of a movement. I've said this analogy to you before. It's like the Joker in The Dark Knight. It's about sending a message. It's not about money. It's about sending a message. And that's what it is for them. And that's why I think Biden's got so many problems going into this election. You take Michigan, you take Minnesota, you take Wisconsin, you take Pennsylvania, you take that demographic. If they vote third party, and now you've got Trump cutting into the black vote in a significant way and winning the Hispanic vote, it's game over. Now, if they replace Joe Biden with somebody who doesn't have the same problem with that group, maybe that group comes back and votes Democrat. But I just don't see them coming back to Joe Biden. I don't. The stakes are not high enough for them. And the fear mongering over Trump, then they'll just set their blue hair on fire for four more years. That's all they'll do. All right, quick break. We're coming right back. Don't go away.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
Thanks to our buddy Chris. Chris sent this piece, Chris Eppolito, how Facebook and Instagram are already blocking users from viewing the presidential debate with a new update. It's like what I talked about with Tracy Beans. They're already taking advantage of the Supreme Court's ruling today to start blocking and censoring again. I'm going to get into Justice Alito's dissent with you in the 6 o'clock hour. Also, more cheap fakes. This time, the Democrats again telling you not to believe your own lying eyes. All that is straight ahead for you in our fourth and final hour. Don't go away.
Rich Scioli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.